You mean like sort of on the...
I guess I love you.
Tragedy struck.
I see you haven't lost your touch.
Hey everybody, this is Mia with Project Nerd here at Tallgrass Film Festival 2019. Sitting here with Taryn Southern with I Am Human. I have been looking forward to you all morning.
Really?
Yes!
That's
yes!
Great,
I read girl. I read the synopsis of your film and I was super excited about it. One of my best friends is a quadriplegic in a wheelchair. This is one of the most inspirational people that I have in my life. He helped Microsoft with the beta testing for the video game console thing.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And everybody loves his dog, Pixie. And I'm allergic to dogs. She's the only dog that I pet. Like, that's how excited I am. Like, I had this ready. Yes, I am. I have you listed on my schedule.
Okay, perfect.
Yes. I was like, no, I need to see this film. So what brought you into it? What hit your soul? We'll just start with that because I'm so excited.
Thank you. So I've always been a techno optimist and just very excited about everything that's happening in the world of emerging tech. It's always fascinated me. And about 4 years ago, Black Mirror and Westworld both came on the scene and became these hit programs overnight. And on top of other sci-fi programs that have also done very well. And I realized that there was a lot of storytelling that was happening in this kind of dystopic world of man meets machine, what happens when humans and AI merge.
Yeah.
And I realized that what was happening in the real world was actually more exciting and more optimistic, but those stories weren't being told. And that was really the beginning of embarking on this adventure of trying to figure out how do we look at what's happening in the world of neurotechnology and tell those stories. And really what I discovered in a few months of research was that the first cyborgs are already here. They're living among us.
Oh my gosh.
We just haven't heard those stories and they're not the kind of people that you would expect.
So let's talk about them. Let's talk about our cyborgs here.
Yeah. So well, we followed actually five stories over the course of several years. We ended up only telling the story of three people in the film. We'll probably release the other two stories as ancillary content online so that people can see.
Okay.
There's just only so much you can do in one hour and a half long picture. But
absolutely.
In the case of this movie, we followed a woman with Parkinson's, paraplegic, and a blind man. And all three of them you go on this journey with them as they go through the decision-making process of deciding whether or not to get these deep brain implants, which are essentially these tiny little chips that are implanted deep in the brain, depending on where the problem is that they're hoping to solve for, whether it's behind the optic nerve or in the motor center for Parkinson's, right? And the aftermath of that, you know, will this not only alleviate their symptoms, but will they develop other talents and skills or just expand upon areas that maybe us normal humans would not be able to do? And then from the lenses of their story, we really get into some of the broader questions, which is, what does this technology mean for humanity? Mm. Right now, it's very much given to people who have no other options.
Yeah.
Right. But what happens as that starts to become safer, cheaper, and more available?
Accessible, yeah.
And people start to see that this technology can be used for other things outside of just fixing disease and dysfunction. You know, what happens when companies like Facebook, for instance, get involved in this space? Facebook just bought a company for $1 billion. That's a brain interface company.
What does that
mean for all of us, right?
Oh my gosh.
But what we were hoping to do is really put a human face to this technology and show a story that is far more optimistic than what you would see in the media, while also being responsible and asking all of the questions that are truly important right now as we move forward and see how this technology will be assimilated in the future.
Oh my goodness. So as you were traveling about finding these stories, how'd you pick them? Like, as you were reading, as you were researching, I'm sure you had to do a ton of it. So what about these particular stories reached you that you were like, no, these are the ones that I want to tell?
It was really challenging to find people. We started with the science. So I was just looking at who was doing what experiments where. So we'd reached out to Stanford and MIT and Case Western and the Wiesner in Switzerland. And is there anything you guys are willing to show us? And it's really challenging because scientists don't want to show anything on camera until after it's published. And once it's published, people have already gone through the surgeries. They've already done the...
Right.
So from a producing standpoint of view, it was really, really hard. We also had HIPAA laws. We had institutional privacy laws, trademark secrets, all kinds of things that we were sort of up against.
Yeah,
so
it goes through a lot of hurdles.
I would say that we didn't have a lot of choices in who we were filming. It was kind of like, of the institutions that were willing to go on camera and show us what they were doing, it's like, here's our patient. And you just hope that the story is interesting and compelling enough. And I think just because this is so new and so fresh for people, we did end up having very compelling characters. I think you don't need a whole lot going on in their lives to understand the stakes are very, very high for something
absolutely.
Like this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And for subject matter like this, where there's so much science involved as well as heart and mending all of it, it provides an entire different perspective than any of us are used to, which is what I'm so excited about.
Good.
So as the producer, I just heard about all of your challenges. What about all of the fun parts?
I think for me, being able to have a front row seat to some of the coolest technology that's emerging that will absolutely change the course of humanity. We're not talking about 50 years. We're talking about 5 to 10 years.
Oh, my God.
I mean, if you look at something like plastic surgery, for instance, you know, a lot of the techniques and the technologies that emerged for being able to, you know, undergo facial reconstruction occurred during the world wars to help soldiers. It was always to
I had
help.
No idea about that.
Oh, yeah.
That right? is awesome. Okay.
It was like, let's help mangled people restore a sense of their humanity. And you see this right now with brain interfaces. All the work that's being done, 90% of it is being done in the medical field to help people who have no other options. But what happens when an open brain surgery becomes less risky than getting in a car? How many people are going to want to sign up to enhance their memory or their learning? Or, I mean, and maybe a lot of people won't, but it's an interesting question. And there are other technologies that are being developed that are non-invasive, that don't go through the skull. So how is this going to impact what we think of as the definition of being human if we can tinker with the very thing that is sort of responsible for our sense of self and our identity? That was really fun to see firsthand what's coming out of the lab. It's unbelievable. I mean, we are living in the future.
Yes.
It's not here in our living rooms yet, but it's here. The ability is there. So that was fun. And I think the other thing that was fun was just figuring out how to tell a story. I have a digital background, so this was my first feature. And the post-production process was both mind-numbingly painful, figuring out how to create an hour and a half long film that makes sense, that distills the science down in an understandable way. It's cohesive. Mm. It's so hard. And that allows for you to emotionally relate to these humans that we had very little time with to film with for a number of reasons. So I learned a lot as a storyteller, and I found the post-production process to be a lot of fun. It's like a big giant jigsaw puzzle, and you're just putting pieces every which way. Every time you move a piece, it screws something else up and you have to find the solution.
So comparatively, pre-production was?
Pre-production was really challenging. Mm. Yeah. I mean, just finding the institutions who, like I said, were willing to let us film was very tricky. At one point, we actually had the government on board because they have a brain interface program under DARPA.
Oh, my goodness.
And we were so surprised and excited. Like, we got the government. It was like the Air Force testing using brain interfaces until the last second.
You got to touch in so many different spots here just with this. And even then, like, listening to you, I'm like, wow, what if we touch base over here? And what about this? And then, like, how would we? It's very exciting. It's just an entirely beautiful thing to just think over. And I'm super thrilled to watch it. I think someone is going to be watching it with me here as well. I don't remember who right now. Is it you? You're going to be watching
Project
it with
me? Nerd, this is like the perfect movie for you guys.
It really is.
You're our target audience. So I do want to know your thoughts afterwards.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, Taryn, I imagine you have a website. Do you have a trailer? Where can we find all of that?
If people want to watch the teaser, they can go to iamhumanfilm.com. Okay. Iamhumanfilm.com. As well as we have a list of all the screenings that are coming up, and we will be making an announcement soon as to our wide release happening in 2020.
I'm so excited. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I really, really appreciate it, and we will see you guys soon.